There we go. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, that's great. Amen. Good to see you all this evening. And those of us online, if you would stand if you can, we're going to start out by singing, Ah, Lord God.
Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for thee.
Amen.
Be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. The kingdoms of my heart. Jesus, I serve. Rock Jesus, your name is power. Jesus, your name is might. Jesus, your name will break every stronghold. Jesus, your name is life. Jesus, your name is healing. Jesus, your name gives sight. Jesus, your name will free every captive. Jesus, your name is life. Jesus, your name is holy. Jesus, your name brings light. Jesus, your name above every other. Jesus, your name is life. Jesus, your name is power. Jesus, your name is might. Jesus, your name will break every stronghold. Jesus, your name is life.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody have any pick of hymns this evening? Oh, Brother Steve, do you remember the song you sang this morning? Peace Like a River. Yes. Yeah. I just got to look it up. Okay. Not Peace Like a River. 450? Thank you. Oh, okay. I'm going to keep looking. 750. Okay, great. Cool, thanks. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, we can sing that one next. Yeah, we've sang that one before. That's a good one.
I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got love like an ocean, I've got love like an ocean, I've got love like an ocean in my soul. I've got love like an ocean, I've got love like an ocean, I've got love like an ocean in my soul. I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain in my soul.
Amen, that's good. And Break Thou the Bread of Life. I got to look up what page that's on. Oh, I thought we've sang it before. Cool, thank y'all.
Break Thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as Thou did break the loaves beside the sea. Beyond the sacred page, I seek Thee, Lord. My spirit pants for Thee, O living Word. Break Thou the bread of life, O Lord, to me, that hid within my heart Thy Word may be. Mold Thou each inward thought from self set free, and let my steps be all controlled by Thee. Open thy word of truth that I may see thy message written clear and plain for me. Then in sweet fellowship walking with thee, thine image on my life engraved will be. Bless thou the truth, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst bless the bread by Galilee. Then shall all bondage cease, all fetters fall, and I shall find my peace, my all in all. O send thy Spirit, Lord, now unto me, that he may touch my eyes and make me see. Show me the truth concealed within thy word, and in thy book revealed I see the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Check one. Here we go. Very good. All right. I'm hoping that's going to make it tonight. Let's see. Do we have any praises? Good to see everybody tonight. We got any praises tonight? Anybody got a praise? Yes, ma'am.
Praise the Lord for the rain. We got some good rain at my house anyway.
Amen.
Also, just want to praise the Lord. Robert's been trying to fix our quail cage, and in the midst of all of that, two of our quail got out, and so we went searching through two of our neighbors' backyards.
Yeah,
got a hold of them, you know, and I kept going, you know, flying here, flying there. Anyway, so long story short, it ended up we spooked them and it flew right back into our yard. Then here I was with the net, and I'm like, Lord, please, and I was able to get this quail.
Able to net that quail.
Net them. It was our male quail, which was an important one.
Okay.
And so that was one of them we got back in, and so the other one we just thought something had eaten them or whatever. Anyway, Robert goes out this morning, and there was that other female quail sitting right by the gate of where the other ones were at, because they were all singing to each other.
And she was sitting, to go in, huh?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's
amazing.
Quail.
So
amen.
Thankful for that.
Quail recovery. Oh, my soul. All right. Any other praises tonight? Anything else? All right. Prayer requests.
I want to start off praying for Aaliyah.
Yeah.
She has a left ear. It's really bad. And she's got to get shots in it. And she's got ringing in it. She can't hear. And a lot of money involved in it. Every shot, I think she said every shot was $750 for each shot.
Wow, okay.
So, whoa. We need to pray for them, Lord. Find
Amen.
A way.
That's the part the insurance won't cover.
Yeah, right. So we do want to lift her
left
up. Amen.
Virus.
And we do want to lift up Ronnie, her husband, Ronnie Vackler.
Amen.
Yeah. And, you know, he's always ailing. He's, you know, I just want to lift them two people up,
amen,
because we were thinking about them today.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen, amen. What else?
And Ryan, we haven't had
any. Continue to pray for Rain. Yes.
Rain. You got it, sister. She told me to pray for them. She got it. Pray for more rain. Amen.
All right.
I got too much job, you know.
I would like to thank God every day because things can be better.
Yeah.
Things can be worse.
Right.
And God knows how to help us through it.
Amen.
That's beautiful. We'll pray for John, too. We lift John up to you, Lord. He's all, his back's always hurting him. I know you got all them on the list. I just try to mention them again, Brother Lee.
Amen.
You know, we want to pray for Lily for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, we lift Lily up. We're thinking about her. We want you to know that. And
thank
you. And Steph. And you. Pray for our pastor. We pray for you.
Amen.
You know, we pray on the teachers meeting, and we pray in the Sunday school class. I just want to know you are lifted up.
Amen, brother.
We're not forgot about you and Steph, okay?
Yeah, yeah. What else?
So, Miss Patty Gloyd, uh-huh. She was out of town in Fort Worth taking care of her dad, who suffers from dementia, and he had a very bad spell. And so she would like to add her dad to our prayer list.
What's his name?
Charles Alexander. Suffering with dementia, and it's getting pretty bad.
All right.
And just continue to pray for Robert and for Colin for salvation. Colin is going through some things similar to Lily.
Mm-hmm.
And but I know the Lord's trying to work in his heart, so pray for that. And I have an appointment finally with a gastro doctor about my colonoscopy on Thursday. So,
all right.
Pray.
Who are you going to?
All goes well. I was just trying to look up his name because I knew you were going to ask me, and I can't remember. I think it's Japer, Dr. Japer. It's somewhere close.
Okay.
I'll let you know. But yeah, I don't like doctors, but I'm thankful for them.
Yeah, amen.
I just don't like going, so y'all pray for me.
You know, every time I go to the doctor, I say, man, I thank God for y'all guys. You know, I think what y'all do every time. I say, you know, especially some of these doctors, some of the things they got to do.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, we want to, praise the Lord for Fred and Ann being here tonight,
yeah,
and Mary.
Yeah.
So, you know, we thank the Lord for that, so...
Yeah, good first to want us.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. That was a praise for the Juanas, if y'all didn't hear out there.
Praise for the Juanas.
We had 29 kids. First night.
First night back.
First night back. Amen.
All right. Anything else?
Yeah, I want to pray for Miss Vicky. We'll lift her up. You know, she's doing better, praise the Lord. But, you know, she is kind of down.
Right.
But she's trying to bounce back. And all our shut-ins.
Yep, got that.
And
unspoken.
Unspoken.
Those with unspoken requests. Yeah, amen. All right, unspoken.
What's that? Oh, yeah, we looked up Kevin. Kevin had a little spell. He's learning he can't drink these energy drinks. They're just as bad for you as anything else. So
right.
He drank one energy drink. He thought that little 5-hour wouldn't be bad. He's tried everything. Poor guy, he don't want to quit his stuff. But he's learning he's going to have to quit. He tried one of these 5-hour energy drinks, and boy, it attacked that pancreas.
Oh, no.
Man, it did. He was down. He thought he'd have to go back to the emergency room.
Right.
So we pray for him, and praise the Lord he didn't. He weathered through it. And he feeling good today, so amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Anything else? All right, well, let's go ahead and we'll get down to it here and get to praying, and we'll continue on tonight. Those of you with us online, always good to have you with us as we invite you online to join us as we pray, as I pray. Those of you with us online and here in the congregation, you pray as the Lord leads you in your heart. Let's go to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you now. We thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. We praise you and thank you for the beauty of this day. Lord, we're thankful that it didn't hit 100 today. We praise you for that. We praise you that the seasons are changing and the high-pressure systems moving to the west, Lord. And going to open the back door for some rain and some cool fronts to come in. And so, Lord, we give you praise and glory and honor for that. We do pray for the rain. But, Lord, we're thankful for some of the rain that's fallen around us and on us. And so, Lord, we just pray that that would pick up and would continue. And we pray that this drought that we're in, Lord, it would just be a cycle. And, Lord, you would just cycle us on out of it, just giving us bountiful showers of blessing. Lord, literally, the rain is such a blessing. We pray for the people up at Lake Livingston as Houston is sucking that lake dry to supply everybody else down here. So, Lord, be with those folks that depend on that lake for a living, the fishing guides and the bait sellers and those in the tourist industry up there. Lord, we pray that you might protect them and see them through before that before the lake fills back up. We know it's going to fill back up. We have faith. We have confidence, Lord, in it, but we just pray for them in the meantime. Lord, we lift up this praise for this quail recovery, Lord. We thank you for helping us with little things in our lives, and we just praise you for your goodness and getting things back where they need to be, and we just praise you for that. And, Lord, we lift up Ann's praise to you tonight that God knows how to help us. We thank you for all the help that you do give us. And we praise you tonight that Fred and Ann are with us, Lord. That's a great blessing to have them with us tonight. And then, Lord, as we think about the Awana program, we give you praise for a good, safe kickoff to the Awana's program. Almost 30 kids. We certainly had over 30 people working over there, kids and volunteers, more than 30 people in that way. But, Lord, we're thankful for the 29 children. And we pray, Lord, you might double that by the time we get to the Thanksgiving break. So, Lord, we just put that before you, Lord. We pray you might use the Awana program to draw folks to this congregation, to this church. We're thankful for the visitors. We praise you for them. And, Lord, we pray you might continue to send more and more visitors our way. We give you praise and glory and honor for it. Lord, as we think about our prayer requests this evening, we lift up Miss Alita to you. And we pray for this viral thing she's got going on in her left ear. We pray your hand of healing upon her. And, Lord, we're praying that these shots, expensive as they are, we pray they would do the trick. Lord, I pray you would move her along in such a way that her recovery would be that she not have to have all those shots and all those injections in her ear. But, Lord, we pray that you might give that physician, that ear, nose, and throat doctor, that audiologist, whoever that may be, Lord, we pray you might give them the wisdom and discernment on how best to treat Miss Alita with this condition she's got going on with her ear. We lift up Ronnie V to you, and we're praying for his health, Lord, from his neuropathy in his feet to the ringing in his ears, and, Lord, the pancreas in between. We just pray you touch his body, continue to keep him healthy. Lord, quicken him, rest him, and, Lord, thank you for his service here at the church. And, Lord, we lift up Ronnie Holman to you. We're praying for his ultimate healing from cancer. We're praying for Nancy. We pray you protect her, Lord. Help her as she helps her husband. Watch over their household, Lord. We pray a hedge of protection around them. But, Lord, we pray you heal Ronnie in a miraculous way. And, Lord, we lift up Brother John to you tonight. We continue to pray for his back. And, Lord, we pray that you'd help him not to twist it or tweak it or strain it, Lord. Help him be smart about what he lifts. And, Lord, if he doesn't think he can, Lord, get him to get some help, Lord, to lift it up there. And get a young back involved in that lifting. So, Lord, we lift John up to you. Pray you help him and protect his back there. We lift our shut-ins up to you tonight. And, Lord, we're thankful that some of them are with us online. We pray a special blessing upon them, Lord, and we thank you for their support as they support us with their prayers and they support us with their giving and they support us with their attendance online. Lord, thank you that they can be a part of what you're doing here. And we pray that you keep them encouraged and you help them. And then we lift up little Lily to you. Lord, we're thankful that she is getting back in church and finding her way back to the Lord. We give you the praise and the glory and honor for that, Lord, and what a difference that has made. And we just praise you for that, Lord. But we continue to pray for her full recovery, Lord, from this depression and anxiety. Doctors, some say you can fully recover from it. And Lord, we're believing in a miracle. We're believing in a healing for that. So, Lord, we're just lifting her up to you. We pray she grows out of some of it. Some of it she has to deal with. But, Lord, we pray you get her to the point where she's not having to take so much medicine every day, Lord. We lift her up to you. Pray you help her. And then we lift up Patty Gloyd's father to you, Lord, Charles Alexander. We pray that you would be with those caregivers as they care for him. We pray for his mental decline, Lord, that you would give him peace that passes all understanding, Lord. We pray that the aggression would be would not be high, that, Lord, he would be people be able to work with him and help him and give him direction where he's at and what he's struggling with, Lord. We pray for Patty. We pray you give her safety as she travels back and forth to see her dad and to try to help her dad. But, Lord, we just pray that you would help her comprehend this disease progression and know that it typically doesn't get any better and it just gets worse and worse and worse. We pray that he not suffer, Lord. We pray that you help him and you just, Lord, when it's time for him to go on home, Lord, that you take him peacefully and you take him least amount of suffering. So, Lord, we lift that situation up to you. And then, Lord, for Robert and Colin, we're continually praying for their salvation. And, Lord, we're thankful for the seeds of salvation that have been sown in their hearts. We're asking that, Lord, you would water those seeds and those seeds would begin to grow and sprout. And, Lord, we pray that soon and very soon we might hear of a changed heart, of a changed life, of a bent knee, of a confessed tongue, that Jesus is their Savior and Lord. So we continue to pray for them. We lift up Colin and these anxiety issues that he's struggling with, Lord. We pray you help him through that. Lord, help him help him find friends that'll listen. Help him find friends that won't shut him down or shut him off, that'll empathize with him, Lord, and encourage him when he's struggling with these feelings. And then, Lord, we lift up Miss Vicky to you. We're praying for her health, praying you touch her body and bring healing to her, Lord. We're thankful that we got to see her this morning. And, Lord, we just pray you watch over her and help her with all she's got on her and her health issues. And then, Lord, as we think about the unspokens, we're thankful that we can, at this time, silently give those up to you and lay those at your feet. And, Lord, we know that you hear us. We know that you're for us. We know that you're sovereign. You're in control. And, Lord, we pray that you just receive these unspoken requests. And, Lord, we pray that you might give us some comfort, that you might give us some peace as we lay these things down, Lord. There might be a transaction there, Lord. We've given something up, and we pray in the Holy Spirit would touch us in a way to help us continue on with these requests that are so such a burden to us, such a struggle for us. Lord, thank you that you're a God that helps with some of the simplest things, and you're a God that helps with some of the most challenging things in our lives. And then, Lord, we lift up Kevin to you, and we pray for those that are struggling with addictions. And, Lord, we pray you'd help them break free from the bondage and get their diets right and get their intake right and get their rest right and, Lord, get their job situation right and everything, Lord. Just help them turn their lives around. Lord, we're praying that you'd put people in their path to point them in the right direction and just help them, Lord, after they've reached rock bottom, help them to start that climb back up to normalcy and health. And, Lord, we give you the praise and the glory when that happens. And then, Lord, for some of these guys with addiction, as they're truly touched and their lives are changed, we'll know that they'll bring glory and honor to your name as well. Thank you for your word tonight as we get into it. And, Lord, we just pray that you help us listen and help us apply it to our hearts and our lives. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, all right, we're in Leviticus 19. And we're basically, I may deal with tattoos on Wednesday. Whoa. Yeah. Yeah. Can you hear me now? Is it still going creaky creak? Yeah. All right, there we go. Very good. We'll use a handheld tonight, and we'll keep that off. And I do have a spare, and we'll try to get that spare on there and then get another one ordered. But I thought maybe a little tape would fix it up. Apparently, a little tape ain't going to do it. You're going to need need a lot more than a little bit of tape. going to need a brand new one. But we've gotten, I bet we've got a good maybe 3 years out of this one. I bet we've gotten close to that. So we've been talking about the practice of holiness. I'm probably going to deal with the issue of tattoos on Wednesday, and we'll see how that goes. We'll see if the Lord helps me put all that together, but want to deal with that if we can deal with that. But we've been talking about what are some perversions to holiness, and we have tried to consider the following misconceptions and distortions of holiness. Now, do y'all remember what some of these distortions or misconceptions were? Do you remember that? What we've covered? Remember what we've covered at all? We've talked about that stained glass holiness. We've also referred to it as ceremonial holiness, right? That's where we, we're basically holy when we come inside these four walls. It's kind of a Catholic thing, right? So we do our religion, and then we go live our life pretty much the way we want. And then when we want to get back right with God, then we come and we do our religious exercises to get back in line with God, right? But what that does, that leads to a very, or can lead, it can lead to a very unrighteous lifestyle, a very debauched lifestyle, one foot in the world, one foot in the church, so to speak. And so that's kind of that stained glass. No, don't mean to throw the Catholics under the bus, because there are plenty of Baptists that do the same thing. Plenty of Baptists do the same thing. But stained glass holiness, also referred to as ceremonial holiness, finding the beauty in the ceremony, finding the beauty and the fulfillment of maybe coming to church Christmas and Easter only, or two or three times a year. You know, wasn't that so beautiful? Wasn't that so great? And feeling like, you know, we've somehow done our Christian duty for the year. So that's we're good people because we've been to church two or three times in the year. You understand what I'm saying? Stained glass, also referred to as ceremonial holiness. Then we talked about positional holiness. In other words, they're a deacon, and so they must be holy, or he's a pastor and he must be holy. And we've seen plenty of examples through the years of how that's not always the case. And so just because somebody has a position doesn't necessarily mean they are particularly holy. All right, it all comes back to, are they living by the Word of God, right? And so positional holiness. Then we talked about equating holiness with the miraculous, right? Just because there is an appearance of power being released, spiritual power released, we know who is the great imitator, right? Who's the great imitator? Satan, right? And so, you can be in some situations where there's some spiritual power been released, but it's not been the Holy Spirit's power, right? And so there's a equating holiness with the miraculous. And then we talked about, and we'll review this one tonight, isolational holiness. That's kind of where we ended on Wednesday night. We said over the centuries, men have tended, Christian folks have tended to equate holiness with separation. In other words, one's holiness could be measured in terms of the distance between the saint and the sinner. And we said, no wonder the holy scribes and Pharisees were shocked by the fact that Jesus spent time with who? He spent time with sinners, right? Rather than with them. He didn't spend time with them. He spent time with the sinners. The Word of God reads in Mark chapter 2, verse 16, it says, and when the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he, Jesus, was eating with the sinners and tax gatherers, they began saying to his disciples, why is he eating and drinking with tax gatherers and sinners? Well, that's why he came. Amen? Jesus' answer was that he came to save sinners. That's the beauty of salvation. You can't get saved until you figure out you're a sinner. You can't figure out you're a sinner until you know what sin is. You can't know what sin is until somebody preaches. Amen? Preaches the Word of God, and it deals with that. Amen? Right? So, he who was holy, talking about Christ, and we shared this on Wednesday night, he who was holy, Jesus, was not defiled by being in the presence of sinners. It was his intrinsic holiness and the holiness of his actions which proved him to be the Holy One of Israel. Now, we asked this question on Wednesday night. Well, if Jesus was around sinners, where were his disciples? Where were his disciples? Where were they? Were they outside the room? They were with the, well, they were with the Christ. So you would say the disciples were with the sinners, right? Well, the sinners made it too, didn't they? Or the disciples made it too. They made it too. They made it to eating with the what? Eating with the sinners and spending time with the sinners and trying to minister to the sinners and trying to sow the seeds of salvation to those sinners. Amen? Praise the Lord, somebody thought enough of us to help us. Yeah, amen. Amen. Christians down through the centuries we talked about on Wednesday night have been tempted to be sanctified by physical separation from sinners. Now that sounds good on paper, but what happens? Where's the out of balance there? Because there's a big out of balance. What happens is we forget that the world is only one source of corruption. The world around us is just one source of corruption. The other source of corruption is the dying flesh we're living in. That's the other source. And there's a third source, and that's the demonic. So when you think about the grand scheme of things, there's a lot of sources of corruption that we need to be sanctified from, right? And we talked about having the balance, yes? Having the balance. It may be a big trigger for you to go to an Astros game or to go to a Texans game, right? That's a whole different world down there, right? Texans game, Astros game. Texans game, probably a whole different world from an Astros game, right? Amen? Pretty rough crowd, right? Texans game, pretty rough crowd. You know, you better be dressed in clothes. You don't want to have things spilled on, because you can get some things spilled on you, right? You're going to have alcoholic beverages everywhere. And so that may be a trigger for you, and you may have a conviction about that. Fine to have a conviction, personal conviction. And so you wouldn't go to the game to be around sinners there. But we talked about on Wednesday night, there are other venues that you might not be tempted at, that you need to put yourself in that situation and be around sinners. Because how else are sinners going to see holiness? How else are they going to see holiness in action? Well, they're going to come to church, preacher. Well, that's some good thinking, but they need to see it out there outside these four walls before they step inside these four walls. Amen? Tracking with me a little bit? Yep. So, what have we seen through history? We have seen the cave dwellers, and we have seen the hermits, and we have seen the monks who have sought spirituality, holiness, by separation. Jesus, however, on the flip side of that, we talked about Wednesday night. Remember those bracelets? Everybody was passing around, selling, trading around, giving away. WW. What would Jesus do? Well, I'm going to tell you what Jesus would do. Jesus, however, taught that holiness needed to be manifested and multiplied by penetration into the world, not isolation away from the world. Right? Right? Matthew 5, 13 through 17 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure." Your Bible may say basket, but they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So the Word of God says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill." Matthew 5, 13 through 17. So Jesus taught the principle of isolation. No, he didn't, preacher. Jesus taught the principle of penetration, which is precisely what Jesus practiced. What would Jesus do? So holiness was incarnated in Christ. Remember what we talked about? His peace. Jesus is peace in you. Well, it's Jesus' holiness in you. Right? Can I have His peace? You can have His peace. Can I have His holiness? You can have His holiness. Well, preacher, I've already sinned, and I'm going to sin. Yes, you are, but you are positionally holy and heaven-bound, and you can become more and more like Christ each and every day. You can have His holiness. You can have it, right? Not to the point of perfection on this side of glory, but you can have His holiness. Amen, amen? There's a kind of separation being practiced by Christians today, which has a form of godliness, but which denies God's power to sanctify in the presence of sinners. What's that about? What's that about? Amen. You're always praying that the Holy Spirit would what? Move. Amen? Well, guess who's got the Holy Spirit? Why can't the Holy Spirit move outside there? Right? You got it. Inside you. Why can't the Holy Spirit move outside these four walls in the midst of sinners? Right? I'm not saying they're going to fall down on their knees and confess Christ as Lord, but they're going to see Your holiness in their midst and know something's different about you. Knows you got something they don't. No, well, I'm kind of interested in that. When things go wrong, go bad, go sideways, look at James. James don't act like 90% of the people here. James different. Holiness, right? There's a kind of separation being practiced by Christians today which has a form of godliness. I told y'all about the deacon. I know I told you about the deacon one time, but I'll tell you again. I'd buried this brother. He had died up in our church in Belle Plain, Kansas. Godly man. Godly man. What blew me away. I've seen a lot of people pass. You get that? You go look in my file in there. I've got 3 manila folders full of people's funerals. I don't get rid of any of them. I keep every one of them. Go back sometimes, every now and then I'll look through. Nice way to remember folks, amen? Amen? This brother, I thought, was the real deal. I've been around people that I believed to be saved. And they went from this world to the next, giving a testimony of their faith, giving a testimony of their salvation, dying and moving on with God's grace and love. But not this guy. This guy, old fear snuck up. I mean, this guy was supposed to be one of the stalwarts in the church. Supposed to be one of the key backs, the key backs that you could load it up on. 6 months down the road, a year down the road, I'm at a senior adult luncheon. And I'm sitting across a guy. I'm sitting across a guy that worked with this deacon for 30 years. Are you ready for this? He had no idea he was a believer. No idea. Zero. Nada. Are you kidding me? That takes me back to that what? Positional holiness? That takes me back to that what? Ceremonial holiness? Stained glass holiness? If we've got Christ in us and the Holy Spirit in us, He will manifest when we are around sinners. Now, do we have to be in the Word? Yes. Do we have to be prayed up? Yes. Do we have to not be forsaking the fellowship of the saints in the assembly? Yes. We need to be doing the basics of our discipleship, right? But if we are, and if we have, and if we've got some time behind us, as a Christian, I'm not saying throw yourself out there. You know, you got saved 2 minutes ago, and you go to some college campus and throw yourself in some frat house party. I'm not saying that, but you know what I'm saying, right? There's got to be a balance here, right? Amen. So there's a kind of separation being practiced by Christians today, which has a form of godliness, but which denies God's power to sanctify in the presence of sinners who will not... Now listen, the sinners will not see the holiness of God or be saved apart from a demonstration of it in their world. They've got to see a demonstration of the holiness in their world. They've got their taste has to be tempted with the holiness. It's got to be primed with the holiness. And the holiness only comes from you. Now, it ain't coming from them. It's got to come from you. Amen, amen? So, we're talking about what are some perversions to holiness. We've covered quite a few of them. Holiness, isolational holiness was the last one. We'll end with this one, I think. And it's holiness by redefinition. Holiness by redefinition. And where are you going? What rabbit are you chasing now? Well, let me try to help. Boom, there goes a rabbit. Let's chase him. All right, so holiness by redefinition. The scribes and Pharisees, they were ingenious at getting around the Word of God, finding loopholes in it, so they thought. Thus, they redefined the law to conform to their own sinfulness. So if holiness was manifested by loving one's neighbor, holiness, that's how it's defined in the book of Leviticus. If holiness is defined by loving one's neighbor, guess what they did? They redefined neighbor. They just redefined it. Well, we'll fix them apples. We'll just redefine that word. So neighbor became their what? Their friends. And neighbor became their what? Their fellow countrymen. And so when a pagan asked for a statement, a pagan back here in the New Testament, when a pagan, first century, when a pagan asked for a statement of Israel's law in its shortest form, Hillel, Hillel, the contemporary of Jesus, a theologian of the time, he expressed this as whatever is hateful to you, do not do this unto your countrymen. Do not do this to your countrymen. And he added that this is the whole law, all else is merely interpretation. Now, there remains an enormous difference between this saying of Hillel and God's demand, however. Amen? Do you see the difference? There's a huge difference. Furthermore, in Jesus' requirement, a person's neighbor is not limited to members of his own people group per Luke chapter 10, verses 29 through 37. That story about the good... What's his name? Yeah. The Good Samaritan. Pre-Christian Judaism was never able to ascend to this thought. Pre-Christian Judaism was never to ascend to the Good Samaritan side of it. Never got there. Never got there. So the hypocrisy of Judaism is seen in Luke chapter 10, 29 through 37, where our Lord has summarized the teaching of the Old Testament law. The Word of God reads, comes right out of the book of Leviticus, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Luke 10, 27. To this, the Israelite lawyer, he sought to defend himself by responding, "And who is my neighbor?" Here was the rub. To the scribes and Pharisees, their neighbor was their friend. Their neighbor was their fellow Israelite. Our Lord's response to this, the story of the Good Samaritan, showed that one's neighbor included those in need, even those of another nation. This interpretation precisely conforms to the teaching of Leviticus 19. So in the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord exposed this error very early, it would seem, in His ministry. What did He do? Well, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48, I'll read it to you. You're more than welcome to turn there if you'd like. Matthew 5, 43 through 48, That's the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, 5, 6, and 7. The Word of God reads this. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, in order that you may be sons of your Father who's in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. Does he? He does, doesn't he? And sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. That happens, doesn't it? Absolutely, right? For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? If you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax gatherers do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, it seems to me that we have tended, and when I say we, I don't mean us specifically as a congregation. I'm talking about Western Christianity. Capisce? Everybody understand that? I'm talking about American Christianity. I'm talking about the West, okay? We over here in the West, right? It seems to me that we've tended to this same error in a variety of ways. One is that we seem to be placing more emphasis on fellowship than we are on evangelism. Fellowship versus evangelism. We're spending more time with other Christians in church than we are in the streets with the lost. We're spending more money, not this church, congregations across the land. We're spending more money on church buildings, more money on church staff, more money on church programs than we are on helping the poor. In essence, our spirituality is more self-centered, self in the sense of Christian-oriented, than sinner-oriented. Does that make sense? Seems that we've tended to this same error in a variety of ways. That's one way. The second way, there is even more deadly evil in our age, and this evil has been the dubious distinction of our own generation, or maybe the generation, but well, probably, I'll let my generation take the blame, okay? I'm 55, so my generation. 60s. You're born in the 60s, it's your generation, right? I'm not going to hang this on the World War II generation. I'm not going to hang it on the Korean generation, nor the Vietnam. It's my generation. So I can really speak to it, because I think my generation is the one that's messed it up the most, right? There's an even more deadly evil in our age. However, this evil has been the dubious distinction of my personal generation to contrive. While the Jews... See, not just throwing the Jews under the bus. I'm throwing my generation under the bus. While the Jews redefined but one term, neighbor, that was their redefinition to placate and massage the Word of God so they could have their sin. My generation has redefined the entire command, love your neighbor as yourself. I say this to my great shame. Our age is extremely self-centered. Extremely self-centered. Rather than having a heart for others, our neighbors, we have become preoccupied with ourselves, with our self-image. Let's look on Facebook. Look at social media. The new evil of our day is having a poor self-concept. That's the new evil. This has been cited as the cause for nearly every sin. And thus, not from this pulpit, I may be a part of the generation, but I'm digging my heels in against it. We are being told, again, not from this pulpit, but we are being told we cannot love God. Nor can we love men until we first love ourselves. This concept, it fits perfectly into the sinful, selfish, self-oriented spirit of our age. Now, this concept sanctifies many evils. This concept directly ignores biblical theology and our Lord's teaching. This concept flies in the face of the teaching of Leviticus 19. This concept comes from the pit of hell. Now, God spare us from this kind of redefinition, taking God's word and redefining it to fit our own whims and our own wants. God enable us, our prayer is, to lay down our lives for others, to place the interests of others above ourselves. And all you have to do is read Philippians chapter 2 to figure that out. God's word. Herein is true holiness. Here it is. Obeying the commands of God by loving our neighbor as ourselves. So may God grant us the ability to do that. And let me give you a real life example of what I'm talking about. We prayed for my daughter. We're continuing to pray for my daughter. And my daughter is getting some better. But let me tell you what's doing it. What's doing it is getting her mind off of her and getting her heart and mind on serving others. Right? Now, when a teenager, a young person or adult is on the precipice of psychosis. In other words, they're about to snap. That's probably not the time to tell them, you just need to be in church, man. You just need to be in the Word. Right? You got to talk them down. Perhaps they got to take some medicine to take the edge off because psychosis is real. I mean, you know when you have psychosis, you break with reality. Right? I saw my dad have psychosis. You have a break from reality. What's going on around you is not what you're interpreting. It's completely different. It's called psychosis, right? So when somebody is teetering on psychosis, that's not the time to tell them they just need to repent, get on their knees, and come back to church. All they need is the Word of God. That's the time to help them get some help and get the edge knocked off of it a little bit. But me and Stephanie committed to pray. And we sought the Lord, and we told the congregation here, and we've been praying for her, and this has been going on for quite a while. But there was a stirring in her heart, an answer to prayer, to get back in church. And she's in a church. It's a good church. I wouldn't attend there, but she's not me, and I'm not her. But she's attending this church where they literally train those young people to serve in the church. And so she is a 16-year-old, is serving a first grade class on Sunday morning. Right? And so we get this package in the mail, right? We get this package in the mail, and I'm like, what is this? Who's ordered more clothes? Right? And Stephanie said, oh, Lily ordered those. Those are some T-shirts. They were running a big sale on them. And I said, a big sale? What are we talking about? And she said, well, Stephen, they were regularly like $20-something dollars. She paid like $5-something. I said, well, how many did she order? She goes, I don't know. She goes, I think there's 5 or 6 in there. I said, you got to be kidding. No, no. She comes home. I said, man, let's see your shirts. She opens these shirts up, 2 sweatshirts and 4 T-shirts, different colors, right? Every one of them, Jesus loves you. Every one of them, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. I go, can you wear that to school? She's going to a charter school, not going to Tomball anymore, going to a charter school. She goes, yeah, I can. She goes, they'll make fun of me, but I'm going to wear it anyway. Amen? Amen? Anxiety and depression is real. But the Word of God and the Holy Spirit is more real or bigger real or trumps all that. Amen? Nothing's an easy fix. She's not cured. But perhaps she's what? On her way. Right? How? By what we've been talking about right here tonight. She's not been listening to me preach. I'm the last person she wants to listen to. I'm the last person. You know, Brother John, I'm the last person. But she's still getting the Word of God because she's in a church that shares the Word of God. Amen? Word of God. Holding to the Word of God. You want to be holy? Obey God's commands. Love your neighbor as... Yeah. Don't redefine neighbor. And don't put all the emphasis on what? Yourself. And you'll be holy. Yes, sir. Amen. Well, let's pray it out and be dismissed, shall we? Let's wrap on that. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, we pray that you give us safety as we depart here. Lord, give us a good week this coming week. May we find ourselves in your Word and experience a time of prayer. And Lord, just continue to grow in our salvation as you lead us, challenge us, help us, and just coax us along the way, Lord. Thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for your second and your third chances and all the grace and forgiveness you bestow upon us. Lord, may we model that grace and that love and that holiness out there outside these four walls. We count it a privilege. We love you tonight. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. All right.